I want to thank you guys, thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity. Thank you for having us here. Appreciate it. Like Pastor Lance said, I grew up in Tennessee, originally from Mexico, but grew up in Tennessee at the age of 8. We moved here, and I've been at South Haven since the age of 8, all the way until I graduated high school in 2012. Went to Hiles Anderson College from 2015 to 2017. Took me a little bit longer, but I did it. All right, I graduated. And then in 2019, we moved to Springfield back home to serve under my pastor there for all those years. So we've been working there with the teenagers for a while now. And so my wife, has helped me a lot as well. And she's learning Spanish slowly but surely. She understands quite a bit, actually, more than I thought. Sometimes I try to talk behind her back, but she gets me in the back of my head. I'm like, oh, I forget that you're learning. No, I don't do that. I don't talk behind her back. Only when she's not there. That's only when I do it. All right. That's just a brief testimony of mine. Let's open our Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And we'll be reading, the first 3 verses here of Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Once again, God, I come to you asking that you please use me this evening. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you please speak through me, that you please speak to the people that are here. I ask God that you please allow me to be used by you. I know that I don't deserve it, but I beg of you to please use me. I know that you, through your word, you use many people, undeserving people. And so I ask that you please use me. I'm not worthy and I know it, but I just ask that you please help me to be a blessing to someone tonight. Your word through me, God. In your name, amen. So this evening we're going to be talking about the book of Jonah. Now many of us know the story of Jonah. If you have little kids, or if you've ever taught, kids, Sunday school or kids class, you probably have used the story of Jonah. And a lot of times when we talk about Jonah, we think about it in a way as a kid would think about the story, because we use it so much. Even with the story of Noah, if you think about it, the story of Noah, the story of Jonah, we like to use it specifically with kids. But I think a lot of the times as adults, we miss the point of this story, because we sometimes try to emphasize it on them. But if we take a quick look at this story, it in fact relates more to us as adults and less to those kids. In fact, the story of Jonah is actually such a deep story that if you were to really dig into it, a kid would probably not understand what's going on here, but many of us would. And we see here in the book of Jonah in verse 1, let's read it one more time. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," and we'll stop right there. Just from verse 1, we see here that Jonah, during this time here in Israel, he is the prophet. He is the prophet that God uses so that the word can come to Jonah, so that Jonah can reveal it to the people of Israel. If we go to 2 Kings chapter 14, we'll find here that it talks also about Jonah. So it's not just in Jonah or Jesus mentioning it sometimes in the Gospels, but we actually see his name in 2 Kings chapter 14. If you go with me to 2 Kings chapter 14, once again, forgive me if I'm struggling a little bit. It's been a while. I didn't think about this, but it's been a long time since I preached in English. So please forgive me if I mispronounce something. You can make fun of me later. Just try to listen.
2 Kings chapter 14, verse 23, it says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from entering, he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant. What's the next word? Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, whatever that word is, Gath-Hepher. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, to be honest. But we see here that we find the name of Jonah once again. So a lot of the times we know that Jonah is mentioned in Jonah because God has a message that Jonah should be delivering to the city of Nineveh. But we see here that previous to that, God wants to use Jonah to deliver a message to the children of Israel. We see that the message that Jonah, that God gives to Jonah is a message a little bit different to what he is giving him to tell the Ninevites. We see here that this message is a message of prosperity, a message that God is going to restore Israel, that God is going to give him or going to restore the coast. In verse 25, he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord of God. So we see here that this message is a great message. It's a message that he is willing to give to the children of Israel. He is willing to go to this king in Israel and give him this message. But we see here, if we turn back to Jonah, that once again, the message is given to him. And this time, we see a difference in his willingness to go. Verse 2, this is the message that God gives him. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Before I get a little bit ahead of myself, we see here that this city of Nineveh is wicked. The Bible tells us that God has noticed so much their wickedness that he can no longer stand it. And if we remember in Genesis chapter 19 and with Sodom and Gomorrah, he gives that same message to Lot and he tells him, Lot, you need to flee because the sin that is in this city is too much and I cannot stand it anymore. And we know that story and we know what happens. Fire consumes that city. Fire comes down from heaven and destroys all that wickedness. And we see here a message that God wants to give to this people of Nineveh. Their wickedness has come before me. And so Jonah has this particular task to go to Nineveh and deliver the message. But what does Jonah do? What is the difference in 2 Kings chapter 14? And what is the difference here in Jonah chapter 1? Read verse 3 with me. Or you read it there and then I'll read it out loud. But Jonah rose up to flee. We see that his willingness has disappeared. We see that no longer is he happy to go and deliver this message. We see that now he is doing something that is unlike his character. He is known as the man of God during the time where he's living. He is known as the prophet of God. When people see this man, they say, wow, you know, this guy, he walks with God. Man, there is something about this guy that God uses him. He is the prophet. He's known as that. There's respect to his name. But we see here something is going on in Jonah's heart. There's something going on that the people of Israel don't know. And they probably see that Jonah's about to leave and they're like, oh, he's probably about to go do something great. Oh, he probably got a message of God. And we see that he starts to go and he flees. From whom? The presence of the Lord. This is very interesting because he's the prophet of God. He knows the commandments from the beginning to end and from end to the beginning. He probably knows him better than anybody. He probably has read the Psalms of David. He has probably, you know, he's talked to God many times. I don't think that it's just these two times that are recorded. There's something that is going on that he thinks that he can flee the presence of the Lord. I'm sure that at one point he read Psalms 139. If you go with me there, go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Verse 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I escaped up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, before thou art there. If I take the wing of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Jonah, the prophet of God, is attempting to do what nobody has ever been able to do, and that is flee from God. It doesn't matter where he runs, he knows it. But in his mind, he thinks that he can get it done. And so what he does is he goes on a ship, he goes down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish at this time was the furthest city west of the known world. That was the furthest city you could go that was known to man. And he decided that he was going to get as far away, the closest west and the furthest away from Nineveh, so that he doesn't have to give this message that God has given to him. Why is it that he does not want to go to Nineveh? Why? He was willing to deliver a message to Israel, and he was willing to go to the king and give him this great news. Why does he not want to go to Nineveh? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria during this time, and the Assyrians were the world power. You could say they were like the United States at that time. Nobody would mess with them. Right now, Assyria probably has the most control of the known world at this time. And Nineveh is the capital of this city. One of the things that the Assyrians were known for is for their ruthlessness and for their wickedness. The Bible, well, not the Bible, but historians, if you look it up, have said that one of the things that the Assyrians would do to bring intimidation to the people that they would conquer is that they wouldn't really slave them. No, they wouldn't do that. In fact, they would let them run their city with them overpowering them. But one thing that they would do is that they would gather the whole city in the town square. They would gather them all there, everybody watching. And what they would do is they would grab the governors, and they would grab the leader of that city, the king or whatever. And they would grab this person. And I know there's kids here, so I'll try not to be too graphic. Well, hopefully they don't understand. But what they would do is they would have this device that would peel the people's skin while that person was alive. And what they would do is they would do that in front of everybody. And they would show people that you're not to mess with us. That if you think that you're gonna cause a revolt, or you're gonna try to overpower or take over us or try to get us out of here, you're not gonna be able to. And what they would do is they would skin the person alive from head to toe. They would do that to those people, just to the leaders though. And the rest of the people would watch, and, you know, if it was you and I, we'd probably be like, okay, you're my new king, or, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. They were very ruthless. They would sometimes, as well, what they would do is they would hang those people, and they would hang them outside the city alive. They would put stakes sometimes and put them right there, and the person was dying a slow death. And when you went to the city, you knew, oh, the Assyrians have taken over this city. Don't go there. Oh, no. Let's try to avoid going to that city. Perhaps Jonah was scared. Perhaps maybe he knew this. Another thing about the Assyrians is that In not too many years, the Assyrians are going to take over Israel. The Assyrians are going to come, and they're going to take over, and they're going to grab the Israelites and take him to captivity. Perhaps Jonah knew this. There's many things, but then as I was reading in chapter 4, if you go there with me, chapter 4 of Jonah, We see the specific reason. It wasn't that he was scared, but we see here in chapter 4 why he did not want to go. Verse 1 through 3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. We have skipped all the way to the end of the story, but we're about to find the reason why in chapter 1, verse 3, he decides to flee to Tarshish. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? So this, we're about to find out what he was thinking when he received this message of God. Therefore I fled before thee. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Here's the reason. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take I beseech thee my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. It wasn't that he was scared. The main reason that Jonah fled and he attempted to flee the presence of God is because he knew that as soon as he went to that city, something was going to happen. And it wasn't going to be what Jonah wanted to happen. Jonah was trying to flee, and he was trying to get the furthest away from Nineveh because he didn't want God to show the Ninevites mercy. Because he didn't want God to change his mind like we know he did. Because he didn't want God to show mercy to a group of people who are wicked, who are sinful, who are one day going to take over Israel. In Jonah's eyes, it is better for them to die than to go and deliver this message. And what we see here is that Jonah doesn't want to go because he rather his plan go into effect than to see God's plan work in the people's lives. And you know, I was reading this and I was thinking in my life how we're just like Jonah. How sometimes God, through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through even our wives or through somebody in the church, you know, God speaks to us and he tells us something and we know what we're supposed to do and we hear message after message about, you know, surrendering your life to Christ and allowing God to do something in your life and, you know, and we know what we're supposed to do. But just like Jonah, you and I think, especially me, well, you know what, God? I know you say this in your word, and I know you say to seek ye the kingdom of God, but, and I know you say that we're going to get everything afterwards, but right now I'm having fun. Right now, the life that I'm living, it can't be better than what you have. No. God, right now my plan is better. What I think should be happiness, that's what I should do. That's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah struggled with the same thing you and I do, or struggle with, obeying what God tells us to do. We just think that our plan is way better. We just think, and we see it a lot, even in little kids, right? I think I was 2 or 3, but my mom tells me this story every time, you know, I'm sure you parents have that story with one kid. The same story that you always repeat to people. They're like, oh yeah, you know, Johnny or Abby, man, they used to be wild and they did, oh, one time they did this. And you parents do that a lot, right? You repeat that one story that they did that is like crazy out there. Well, there's one for me. And I'll tell you right now, when I was younger, when we lived in Mexico, my dad used to work in the Coca-Cola factory and my mom would go and she would sell food for the people that would come out to lunch. And she would take me and my brother. At the time I was 3, my brother was probably 4 or 5. So we're playing around, my mom's doing, you know, selling food and whatnot. Across the street, There is not a gas station, but like a 7-Eleven, just, you know, like a little store where they sell snacks and food and all that stuff. And there's apparently a bag of chips that I really wanted. There's one specific bag of chips that my mom said I really loved at that time. And my mom tells me that when I was younger, I told her, Mom, please take me. And it was in Spanish, not in English. Otherwise, that would be kind of weird. But I would tell her, you know, Mom, you know, can we go? I really want those chips. I really need them right now. You know, I really want to have those. I need those chips, Mom. Like, right now, that's all I can think. And my mom said I kept bugging her. And she kept telling me no and no and no. And finally, my mom says that she was selling food. And all of a sudden, she hears cars honking. They hear tires screeching. And my mom's wondering, what is going on over there? This was a busy street. I can't compare it to anything. What's a busy street here? A busy regular street. That one. There you go. That street right there that you just mentioned. It was a big street. And my mom says that when she turned around, she saw a 3-year-old boy running across a busy street, a busy highway. And that I was running, not even paying attention to the cars. My sight was to go straight to that store and grab those chips. I didn't have any money. So I don't know what I was going to do. I was probably going to go to jail. And my mom freaked out. I wanted those chips. I wanted those chips so much. But what did my mom know that I didn't know? That street, dangerous. That if I crossed that street by myself, and that if you told me, sure, go on out there, I was going to get ran over. Now, thankfully, I didn't. And now you get to hear me. And now you're welcome, Abby. You know, God did this for you. No, I'm just kidding. But you see what I'm trying to go with here? I didn't know what was best for me. At that moment, all I could think of was, if I don't have those chips, my mom hates me. If I don't get what I want, man, she really does not love me. And I think we do the same thing with God, where there's a thing that God has for us in our lives, a specific message, a specific commandment that He wants us to go through in our lives. And He knows the future. And we know that He's omniscient, and we know that He knows the future, but yet somehow, we just think, that can't be good. No, God, no. Let me tell you, what I'm doing right now, that's going to be better. And we're very stubborn. And so we see here that Jonah struggles with this disobedience. And there's so much to the story, but I won't continue too much more. But how does he get to that point? What happens? How does a man of God like Jonah, who receives directly the message of God, how does that happen? How does he get to that point? How does he get to the point where he tries to flee from God and he tries to do what nobody has ever done? It's because he goes into a spiritual apathy. It's because little by little, we think, you know what? My plan is better, and it starts with one sin. And then it goes to two sins. And then it goes to three, and then it goes to four. And before we know it, if you keep reading in chapter one, you see that he finds himself where? In the belly of a great fish. He went from being a guy who God spoke to, who was used directly from God, to being in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a fish, barely being able to breathe, being in the nastiest place, furthest away from God. Why? One sin. One sin. And that disobedience led to other things in his life. I'm sure this wasn't the only thing. There was something going on in his heart, just like in our lives. It's always just more than one thing. There are little things that we do that lead to it, and we find ourselves in that spiritual apathy where, if you keep reading in verse 5, when God sends that great storm, Everybody understands that the storm is coming from God, except Jonah. Jonah is the last person to understand that God is trying to get his attention. Why? He just goes into that spiritual apathy where he doesn't hear God's voice anymore. He doesn't see what God has showing him. And so I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to look at your life just like I challenge myself to look at my life and see what is it that in my life that I've allowed to come in where it has derailed my life from serving God. Is it my selfishness? Is it my pride? What is it in my life that is causing me to think that my plan is better than what God has for me? You can choose to do your own will, just like Jonah. But just like Jonah, there are many consequences that will come. Or we can choose to obey God's will. And we can see the blessings that He has in store for us. And yes, we will still go through trials, but we will have that peace of mind of knowing that we are in God's will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask that you please that you please speak to someone through this message. I'm not sure if I said everything right, but Lord, I know that your word has power, and I know that there is power in your word, and I just ask that you please, Holy Spirit, speak to someone tonight, and if this was helpful for someone, may you please help us to make a decision. Help us, Lord, not to get to that point where we don't longer hear your voice and hear you speaking to us. Forgive us, Lord, because we struggle with that disobedience in our lives. I ask you, Lord, to please be with us tonight.